I was sitting in the hotel on the April 25th, about 11:50. I was going to type some of my emails and all that, checking, and a website luckily did not work. I said luckily. Did not work in from my room, so I asked the hotel owner if I can use their business center at the lobby. Now, and they said yes, and I was sitting, and 5 minutes later, small shake started, and then everybody going, you know, jumping out, and then I jumped out. I could not even stand pretty well. I mean, just I had to sit down after I jumped outside. And it was so horrifying scene that I experienced and I seen just minute after it stopped. Not even a minute, seconds after it stopped, in a 40 minutes of long shake. I looked at to the large city of Bhaktapur, which is in Kathmandu Valley, 11 kilometers away from Kathmandu, another city, different district. It's called Bhaktapur, ancient city. And when I looked at it up on the hill, it was like a cloud of dust from the ground going towards the sky. And red, red dust all over. And it's, oh my goodness, it was so horrifying scenery that the many, many houses has just collapsed. And then people are crying and screaming. And that was about 11:56 or something like that in the morning. And that afternoon, it's just nobody could go out. I mean, shake after shake, every 10 or 15 minutes later. And not joking, a smaller one, it's a bigger one. Because of that, people could not go inside, could not go any streets and on that. Then we started seeing pictures, and 4 hours later, I just wanted to go ahead and go check it out outside, you know, just in the backyard. Hundreds of people start coming and camping outside, and the line of the dead bodies is so humongous, and I just could not even see. There is no time for to take pictures. And people are crying, and my heart is crying. And at the time and the situation, it was really horrifying. And some people, they just burned their family, and other people don't even have a place to burn that dead body, because in Hindu religion, they cremate that body, and then they have to take some nearby the water place. And they just don't have any place, because everywhere people and dead bodies. So that afternoon, they probably planned, you know, not planned, they probably took the dead bodies and the library. We don't know how many people are still buried, but people are still taking out from the rebels. And it was just a bad scenery, and the experience is just horrifying. So I spent 3 nights outside the building into the, you know, the lawn. But there was some tent and all that. And then later on, that for one more days, and I spent a night at the couch of the lobby. Then I left for Nepal, Japan for 12 days, and I came back. And we have a hospital in Kathmandu. That hospital, in 4 days, they operated and did some work for 500 people, surgery alone. And the hospital was damaged, and we had to operate our hospital under the tents. And in 5 days, they ran out of supplies and all that. We could not even get supplies, and almost we had to shut down. And the hospital was damaged, 2 buildings was damaged, and only running by, you know, from 2 more buildings. But it's a sad story for everywhere in the Kathmandu city, Bhaktapur, Patan, all the old monuments and temples, historic places, those are gone. And it's, you cannot rebuild the same Kathmandu, same Nepal again. It's just bad.
I'm speaking with Narayan Shrestha, who is a Boulder businessman who is originally from Nepal. He's the founder of the nonprofit Helping Hands. Their website's helpinghandsusa.org. He's the subject of a documentary, The Hands That Hold the World, which is directed by a Boulder filmmaker, Troop Wood. And there's a screening of that locally to support Nepal happening on June 1st at 7 p.m. at the Nomad Theatre in North Boulder. Narayan was himself in Kathmandu when the earthquake hit, and he has just returned from Nepal. You mentioned how just completely overwhelming this scenario is for authorities on the ground. There have been reports coming out that so much of the international money that has been pledged hasn't even managed to reach Nepal. I mean, so for listeners who really want to help, what is your advice? How can we best help people in Nepal?
Well, in the past that I used to think that, okay, the aid goes to the countries when they have a disaster. I think they will distribute proportionally, equally, and just right and fine. The way that I've seen over there right now, that instead of seeing, it's a fact. I'm telling the fact, and I'm not worried about who thinks what. The fact I've seen and experienced is there in Nepal. During this time, of course, many, many countries, whole world, had their eyes in Nepal during that time. And their heart was there with the people of Nepal. And those days, those times, people, of course, sent so much money, individually, organizationally, country-wise, and that money goes there, and then aid goes there. The so-called parliament members, the lawmakers themselves, stand in the line and gets the tent and blankets, whatever they can get. That's okay, because their houses also can fall down. They also may be out of the house. That's, you know, really nice. That's okay. But what we found is the fact that lawmakers themselves stealing the goods, stealing the money and hiding. And the media caught them in red hands. And just embarrassing. Such kind of things happened, and which should not happen. People are dying with hunger. People are, you know, dying without shelter. And at those kind of situations, the lawmakers should be the one who sacrificed their life and for the people when the people have voted for them. And these are the kind of things that are very, very bad. And there's a lot of other people are taking opportunity in such a way that how can we make money and make a good living right away instead of thinking helping. There are people like that, you see. The money does not reach to the victims right away. The best way to do is that people-to-people project. You think about Red Cross does it. Of course, Red Cross does very, very good things. And there's a large organization. They reach out. They do that. But the best thing to do is that people-to-people program. And I see that, and I understood very well, and it is 100% I can guarantee that. So much help from United States went to Nepal. It's better way to went is people to people. And go in a, if you know people who are doing small organizations, you go through them, and that organization we can monitor very well. And make sure that your money goes to the people directly. Of course, you know, 5%, 10%, you know, they may use for their overhead expenses. But majority portion of the money should go to the victims. And I would say that you be careful where you send the money.
Well, we'll give information about your organization, Helping Hands, that works directly with the village in Nepal. But as we've heard, you're also helping people in Kathmandu. Narayan, I know there's a large Nepalese community here in Colorado. How has the earthquake impacted them?
Of course, when your own country, where you come from, that got hurt, everybody gets, you know, really affected with it, whether their family member gets involved in it or not. As a whole community and as a united Nepal, they feel very sad about it. And they are doing some effort of collecting money and send to through the government, through the Red Cross, and all whatever. And individually, they are sending also to their hometown. And I heard a lot of effort is doing it individually here in this country, in Boulder County. I'm just speaking in the Boulder County, has a lot of Nepalese living here. And I was the first settler here from Nepal. But now it's thousands are here living. And they're doing very best whatever they could, only so much they can do. And just a few days ago, the ambassador of Nepal to United States came over here, and the Nepali community collected some money and handed over to him to send over there. The Helping Hands Health Education that you just asked, that I do help over there directly. I was there and I'm helping over there, and I just came last week, and I just thought that I could not stay here behind. They need me over there. And also the American medical volunteers that who are connected with Helping Hands are reaching out to me and asking, what can I do for you? When are you sending another trip, another group to help people? Right now, what they need is that not the evacuation or
immediate rescue.
It's all the wounded people are already saved. The fractured people already been operated. All the lives what needs to be saved, they are saved. But what they need right now is that to control the spreading diseases from the people to people. And for example, there are still some dead bodies lying under the rubble, right? Rubbles. And if you don't take that out, it's smelling all over. And with the Singati, that place was totally smell like, and unbelievable. And people would not even go over there. And they said that, don't go. You'll get disease. Return back. One of the military is working over there. The poor guys, they're brave. That's what I salute to militaries. And I'm very, very pleased to be an American. If I was not in the United States, I wouldn't be able to help over there. Maybe I put my hands and then dig some rubbles. But right now, more than that, we are helping because the people in Colorado and the United States have been superbly kind and generous, understanding and very compassionate. And because of them, I say that I can help. And I'm trying to help more. We are planning, I have a goal to build 2,000 shelter homes for people in wherever we need. I'm opening an office in Kathmandu, a permanent office, and so that we can coordinate from the United States, and I will give them a room and board. If anybody comes with their skill for construction, medical, professionals, whoever wants to come, I wanted to provide them and organize in the ground, and they can reach out to Helping Hands in Boulder office, through website or through phone calls and whatever, and they can do that. Well, website is helpinghandsusa.org, and the phone number is 303-448-1811, and they can reach out, and we can organize their trips if they want. If they wanted to support us, and we are there to help the people, and their money will go in the right place, whatever they expect. For example, that one shelter home is going to cost only $300. I am helping to the people with that $300, a shelter home for a family of four members, four to six people could live, with the stove, the burner, and then the gas jar cylinder, which lasts for a month, and also the table and the toilet and all that included, for $300 for four to six people can live.
I'm speaking with Narayan Shrestha, who is a Boulder businessman who is originally from Nepal. He's the founder of the nonprofit Helping Hands. Their website's helpinghandsusa.org. He's the subject of a documentary, The Hands That Hold the World, which is directed by a Boulder filmmaker, Troop Wood. And there's a screening of that locally to support Nepal happening on June 1st at 7 p.m. at the Nomad Theatre in North Boulder. Narayan was himself in Kathmandu when the earthquake hit, and he has just returned from Nepal. I mean, what is the weather like right now in Nepal? I mean, for people who are displaced living outside, even in shelter accommodations, what conditions are they living in?
Thank you for asking this question. That is, weather condition is just getting worse because earthquake came right beginning of the monsoon. In 3 weeks, officially, the monsoon will start. And when the monsoon starts, even before the monsoon, the pre-monsoon rain causing so much damage, the whole mountain fell down and with a landslide and blocked the whole big river. And there was a very scary moment for the thousands of people beneath it. But luckily, God helped. Without any harm, the water just released automatically and now is becoming normal. You can see that Nepal is a lot of a mountainous country and a lot of valleys and mountains are there, and then the landslides every year, regular years. This year, there's a massive amount of earthquake is coming, and every day, 2 to 3 of them are there.
So they're still aftershock happening?
Still aftershock, yeah. We don't know. Is it aftershock or pre-shock? That's confusing.
So there might be another huge earthquake happening?
Yes, that's a prediction. That's a expectation rather, but let's hope it will not show up there, or we don't, nobody have to feel that again. But the way that it shake is coming, and then the big shock have damaged a lot of the walls of the Himalayas mountains, the foothills, and when it's a monsoon, and that time the rain and shine and humidity and all that combination. And a monsoon, that means just not rains, it pours. When that happens, landslides will take a lot of lives, a lot of damages will be done. As it is right now, the structure, the way that we used to see Nepal, now is changing. It's just completely different. But then again, people should not forget this. About only 35 districts had affected in the northern east, from Kathmandu, a little bit west, north, northwest, and then the northeast. Only the Himalayan range got affected. But the southern belt had not been affected at all. And the Pokhara, which is one of the most popular tourist city, has not been affected. It's very near by Pokhara, but only not even 50 miles away from Pokhara, the epic center was the first one, and did not affect that one. The Indian plate, I don't know, somehow it moved towards the Himalayan side, and which area it just touched and moved, and we don't know. Some geological society might know, but my experience is that the Pokhara and then the western part from Pokhara, north-south, did not affect at all. Very, very little shock they felt, but no damages. That means tourist area is still there. But people, if you live in Kathmandu, go and stay in Kathmandu 3-4 days, I suggest not to do that, because the problem is it's still there. There's just so much disease is spreading, unknown, and a common and unknown both. And you need to get out of Kathmandu as soon as you can. Go to Pokhara and Chitwan. These are the area, and the Himalayas in the western part, it's still intact. So there are still places that people can visit and enjoy Nepal.
What are your final thoughts, Narayan, for people, you know, to hear, whether it's about the long-term recovery of Nepal, which relies so much on tourism as well, and, you know, maybe tourists don't want to go there naturally because the infrastructure is so damaged. It's probably not helpful for tourists to go, even though they may be vital for the economy. I mean, what are your thoughts in terms of the long-term recovery prospects for Nepal?
With my experience, and I travel so much in Nepal, and I give my time and money and attention to Nepal for the last 28 years. With my experience right now, that because the monsoon is coming, the 500,000 homes are gone, and there people are out of homes. And in the, during the monsoon time, they will have a hard time to survive. Because of all that, it's going to take a long time to rebuild Nepal. Therefore, I myself is committed with our board members. We decided that my presence in Nepal is very important, and then I wanted to go back and help them. But the long term, it's a long time it will take for Nepal to actually come back again. To help Nepal to rebuild, it's not 3 or 4 months. The people, you know, we need to continue support physically, monetarily, whatever way you can. We should do that. And it takes time. I would say that, you know, 10, 15 years before we can see a really strong Nepal.
And is there a concern that it'll be gone from the front pages of newspapers around the world in the next few weeks, few months, maybe another natural disaster in another part of the world? I mean, what about the international community and their long-term commitment to the recovery?
Well, right now, most of the volunteers, that around more than 4,000 volunteers was there before. That's what I heard from the radio, the television rather, from Nepal. But more than half of them have been requested to leave country. So some of them are still there. But international community will have that impact to go back again and help them different ways. That was an immediate relief help that was that time. And now, rethinking how can be help to Nepal, that the international community, that how could they involve to rebuild? And then they will have continuous support. I know that the world cannot forget Nepal just like that. And you know, it's not a 1 week worth of thing. It's going to last forever. That the help is needed, I would say that years to come, years to come. And then one thing that I was in a weekend retreat down in Creston right after I came back from Nepal. There was a couple hundred people from the, I would say that all over the nation came over. And that time I met one lady that's a very renowned person from Creston, Hannah Strong. She requested me that I would help 100 to 500 people, the family that I wanted to bring to Creston, and I have thousands of acres of land and I wanted to share with them. Is there any way we can bring? And I had a meeting with her, and then, I don't know, it's just a dream, but that's a governmental expertise and all that. The reason I brought this one up is that every human being are thinking of Nepal, how can we help these people from dying, from the sadness, from the sorrow? How can we uplift these people? These are the kind of things, and people in the world, they're really thinking and loving Nepal. As you know, thousands and thousands of people travel to Nepal every year. And when they go travel there and they come back home, oh my gosh, I want to go back again. That's a wonderful country. People are greatest. And that kind of image Nepal have already given to the people in the world.